Well, good evening, all. We've got campers missing. They've gone to Quartz Mountain Christian Camp again. They had an interesting camp session going. I'll wait till they get back and let them tell you about it. How you doing on your daily Bible reading? All of you who are current or reasonably so signify. All right, that's great. Stick with it. We finished the book of Proverbs. I like the book of Proverbs. I've told you that before. But I recognize that there are a lot of people who don't like the book of Proverbs. And I'm sorry about that. I still think that William Willimon had about the best line concerning the book of Proverbs. He said, reading the book of Proverbs is like being on a long road trip with your mother. There's nothing but good advice. You know, just one thing after another. Straighten up. Sit up. You know. Connie says it's like reading 31 chapters of bumper stickers. And I can understand that too. So tonight, what I want to do with you is we're going to go to Proverbs, and this is really kind of a sermon for people who don't like Proverbs. If you don't like the book, and you don't like wisdom literature generally, this is kind of a sermon for people who don't much like it. Part of the problem, honestly, is that Proverbs were never meant to be framed in a collection. They were meant to be kind of individually used and treasured and savored and remembered. I've got a lot of things to say about that. There's a tremendous amount of literary artistry in the book of Proverbs. The problem with that literary artistry is it won't leave the language of Hebrew. So if you translate it, you've lost it. All the careful structure and the sounds and the poetry is just really hard to follow once you get it out of Hebrew. Still, Proverbs and wisdom literature generally offer a great deal of help for daily godliness. That's really what they're about. All the wisdom literature is about daily godliness, how to live in God's good world. We're going to look at a few verses in Proverbs. Lucky for you, we're not going to read all 31 chapters of Proverbs tonight. And we're going to see how wisdom literature generally kind of works in daily life, how this is really supposed to help us. But I've got a cheat, as typically I preach out of the daily Bible reading for the past week, but this time I'm going back 2 weeks because we've got to get very, very early in the book of Proverbs to see how this is really supposed to function. When you get into the heart of the book, and it really is like bumper stickers, you know, just one little aphorism after another, it's really hard to see how those function. But if you go all the way back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, or at the very beginning, it's laid out in a wonderful structure for us to tell us exactly what this is about. So we're going to start with the very opening, the first 7 verses of the book. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 1, reading down through verse 7. You have to remember that wisdom applies God's Word to daily life. That's what wisdom literature is about generally. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. Applies God's wisdom to daily life. Let's start reading. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And it all kind of starts right there. Wisdom literature it's based on daily observations. You know, it's based on how the world actually works, and often it's laid out in kind of a two ways format. There's the way of the wise and the way of the fool. That's what you just saw in verse 7. There's the way of the wise and the way of the fool. There's the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. There's the way of the humble and the way of the proud. There are two ways to go in life, over and over and over, and wisdom literature lays these two ways out and shows you exactly where those are going to take you. What do you wind up with at the end of the day? Where do you wind up at the end of the day? And it's based on personal observation. If you go through the book of Proverbs, just note how many times in the Proverbs it says something like, I saw, I looked, I heard, I thought. It's about the observations of this world and how things work. Just What did Yogi Berra say? You can observe a lot just by watching. And it's true. You know, you can observe a lot just by watching. So Solomon can look at God's good world and the creation that he's laid out here and see how things really work, how it really is. And wisdom literature and Proverbs, in applying God's Word to daily life, it identifies the most common failures. Where are we most likely to get into trouble? And really, where are young people most likely to get into trouble? So you have an awful lot of Proverbs about money. You have a lot of Proverbs about people who want to get rich quick and people who can't hang on to money, people who love money and try to hoard it up. There are a lot of problems young people can get into just loving money. There are a lot of problems with money. Watch out for that. How about laziness? Young people have a problem with laziness very often. And if it's not corrected, there'll be old people who have a problem with laziness. Laziness is a real problem. And the Proverbs tell us exactly how that works and what's the likely outcome of a lifetime of laziness. Bad companions. You get around the wrong kind of people and bad things happen. I've told you many times that I wish I got paid extra for every time someone sat in my office and told me, he's a good boy, but he got in with the wrong crowd. Y'all can sing that song with me, can't you? Because you've heard it too. I don't know. It's very, very common. Money, laziness, bad companions, sexual sin, of course, is a huge problem and always has been a huge problem. It's not like that's something new that has burst into our world. It's always been a problem. These are the most common failures. And the book of Proverbs and the other wisdom literature, too, will show this. It just shows bad thinking and the bad results that come from bad thinking. All the things that are going to happen. The point to this really is to learn from somebody else's mistakes. That's, I guess, part of the goal of education generally is to learn from other people's mistakes. Some of us don't do very well with that. Wisdom applies God's Word to daily life. And the thing you have to remember about that is, in the ancient world, there was no such thing as a separation of your secular life and your religious life. It was all one life. It's just who you are and what you are about. So you can't separate your interest in God from your interest in business. You can't do that. You can't live in God's world without including Him in the world. Now, there are people who have tried at different times to kind of separate their secular life from their religious life. And in Proverbs and other wisdom literature, they're called fools. There are really three different words for fool. Have you noticed how many times the fool is represented in Scripture? Hey, you keep running into this guy. He's a fool. Well, one reason for that is there are three different words in the book of Proverbs that are used for fool. There's a fourth one. It's just not used in Proverbs. One of the words for fool means a wicked and ungodly person. Just not interested in God's way, God's will. He's going to go and do his own thing. Another word for fool means somebody who is morally deficient and just flat stupid. Have you ever met somebody who's just flat stupid? I was talking about this one time in Michigan, and we had a little girl in that congregation. She was about 5 at the time. And after I got done with the sermon, she came to me with these big brown eyes, and she said, "You said a bad word." And I said, "I did." And she said, "Yeah." Well, she was scandalized. "The preacher said a bad word. You said a bad word." I said, "What did I say?" And she went, "You said stupid. You're not supposed to say that." Okay, mom and dad are working on her, you know. But the truth of the matter is, there are people who just don't learn. They just won't learn. And that's one of the words for fool. But a third word for fool is someone who is kind of naive and ignorant, but coachable. You can train this guy. And so sometimes the best thing you can do for this kind of fool is just clue him in. He'll be okay after that. So there are some proverbs that talk about helping the fool along there. The truth of the matter always is that the wise live by God's word. The fear of the Lord is going to make you a good farmer. Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, you see. And so that can make you a good farmer, can make you a good wife, can make you a good husband, could make you a good businessman, you know, make you a good parent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Oh, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Wisdom is to be used. Skip with me over to Proverbs chapter 4, if you would. In verse 1, we're going to start in verse 1. Read down through verse 9, Proverbs chapter 4. And you can kind of get this picture in your mind of a dad who takes his son over and sits him down and has one of a number of father and son chats. You know, let's talk about this, son. I've got some things to clue you in on. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She'll set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. And you can keep going if you want to and read more and more about that good advice from dad to his son. Wisdom is supposed to be used. It's supposed to be passed down generation to generation. It's supposed to be used by people to make their lives everything that God meant them to be. And so there are all kinds of special devices to remember these things so that you can keep it in your mind. Remember, in the ancient world particularly, people didn't have copies of the Bible. It cost too much to write that down. Writing was difficult, expensive, time-consuming. So they memorized vast blocks of Scripture. But it might have been a little bit easier with some of these devices to help you remember things. There are similar sounds that are used in some of these proverbs. And we do that too. How many of you have heard the proverb, spare the rod and spoil the child? How many of you heard it? Okay, get that SP sound. Spare the rod and spoil the child. You see, you hear that similar sound in there. Help stick it in your mind. Haste makes waste. You hear the same sound. It sticks it in your mind. You'll remember that one. Sometimes it's rhythm. There's a kind of rhythmic chant to some of these proverbs. And we do the same thing. I was making a comment to an elder in Missouri one day years ago, and I said, when once a job is well begun, never leave it till it's done. And he immediately responded, be it large or be it small, do it well or not at all. He said, my father had 1,000 of those rhyming sayings that he would use. And that was, I never knew there was a second half to that, but there is, see. And it's the rhythmic nature of it and the rhyme that makes it stick in your mind. So here, he told it to me one time and it's been stuck with me ever since. That's just the way these things work. Sometimes these sections of wisdom come across in what's called an acrostic form. First line starts with the letter Aleph, second line starts with the letter Bet, A, B, C, D, E. You know, just go right down through the alphabet, and each line starts with the next letter. You all know about Proverbs 31, right? The poem about the worthy woman from verse 10 to verse 31, the very last thing in Proverbs. That's an acrostic poem. Verse 10 starts with the letter A, then it's B, then it's C, and all the way to the end of the Hebrew alphabet. So it'd be easy to remember it like that. And then there's parallelism. Parallelism is when you have the same or exactly the opposite thought expressed. You have parallel ideas. So we would say, the wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's parallelism. The one's going in one direction, boy, the other's going exactly against the grain there. These are all devices to help remember these things, because it's no good if you can't remember it. You can't apply it if you can't remember it. And they're supposed to be applied. These things are to guide life. Now, not every proverb is going to apply directly as it is. But you know what? You look for similarity in life. And you see how these are similar to things that you observe in life. It helps you to clear up your own thinking about things. Hey, why is it bad to be arrogant in life? Nobody likes arrogant people. Why is it bad to be arrogant in life? Well, Proverbs 16, verse 18 says... what does 16:18 say? It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Why is it so bad to be arrogant? Because pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And if you are arrogant, guess what is going to happen to you? Wisdom is the inheritance of the generations. It's supposed to be remembered, it's supposed to be applied, and it's supposed to be enjoyed. See, there's a reward for right actions. As you go through here over and over and over, there are great rewards, benefits to applying this wisdom. And you know, one of the benefits that's never talked about in the book of Proverbs, but one of the benefits is this. You learn to look beyond the surface. There are a lot of things that happen in our world that seem to be one thing on the surface, but if you'll just look at it a little bit and pay attention, you'll see that there's something much more important going on below the surface. And the Proverbs particularly encourage that kind of thinking. Think about how things really are. Not just what you see on the surface, but think how things really are in this world. And you will agree that God's way is right. That's what happens with wisdom literature, and especially the book of Proverbs. You will wind up agreeing that God's way is right. Wisdom is the correct way to live because wisdom is absolutely timeless. Skip over to chapter 8 with me, if you would. In chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 22 here. Wisdom is just timeless. Chapter 8 has a lot to say about wisdom being present at creation and how it's been just a part of the universe since before creation, actually, because God had it all in mind before creation ever began. But we're just going to look at this one little chunk from verse 22 to 31 in chapter 8. The Lord brought me forth as the first of His works. Me, wisdom. This is supposed to be wisdom talking, right? The Lord brought me forth as the first of His works before His deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before He made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when He set the heavens in place, when He marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when He gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep His command, and when He marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at His side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in His presence, rejoicing in His whole world, and delighting in mankind. Wisdom is timeless. It's the foundation of creation. These things that are recorded here, these observations about how God's Word works in daily life, these are true from the beginning. These things are true from the beginning. You know, there's always a plan before you build a house. There better be a plan before you build a house. You got the house plan set out, and you're going to find out how much material it's going to take, what those materials are going to cost. God had a plan before creation, and wisdom is God's plan. God created everything that exists with wisdom. And I don't mean just cleverness. I mean moral guidelines. This is the way it really is out here. This wisdom, this plan is God's wisdom. And God's way is right. I try to pull this out of my mind, and if I'm wrong, I hope someone will come to me later on and say, you didn't get that quite exactly right. But I want to give you a real quick, if I remember this right, I'm going to give you a real quick look at atomic physics. I know you you were hoping that at some point today you'd get some kind of information about atomic physics. An atom is the smallest discrete unit of identifiable matter. Okay? So you got your electrons out here, and you got your protons and your neutrons in the center. Everybody knows that, right? We're all good for that. Electrons come in shells. Think of them as floors. On the first floor, you can get two electrons, and that's all. Can't pump any more electrons into the first floor. They're automatically going to move up to the second floor. In the second shell out, you can get as many as 8 electrons, but you can't get any more than that. You can try to pump more in, but you can't get more than 8. So in the first shell, you can get 2, and in the second shell, you can get 8. And you start pumping more electrons in there, and you get a third floor, a third shell, and in that shell, how many electrons do you suppose you can get? You can get 2 in the first one, you can get 8 in the second one. How many do you think you can get in the third one? Right, 8. You get 8 electrons in the third one. And it won't take any more. If you try to pump more electrons into that third shell, it's going to go out to a fourth shell. Okay, so you can get 2 in the first one, you get 8 in the second one, you get 8 in the third. How many do you think you can get in the fourth one? Right, 16. Why is that? Why are there 2 in the first one, 8 in the next, 8 in the next one, and 16 in the... Why is that? Because that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. That's the way God made the universe. That is just the way it is. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Just listen to this, right? Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Why is that? Because that's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it always will be. Moral laws are as immutably true as physics. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 is as true as 2, 8, 8, 16 in the valence shells of an atom. That's the way it is, because that's the way God created it. And the wonderful thing about this timeless wisdom is God allows us to see this for ourselves. You know, some people can sit down and read this and they can understand it and they can walk away saying, you know what I know today? I know that lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. They can read that and they can remember it and they can go and use that in their lives, and other people have concrete foreheads and they've got to learn everything the hard way. And they've just got to hammer this into their heads, because until they see it for themselves, they're not going to learn it. But God allows us to see it for ourselves, and He can watch how it works. There is a good deal of controversy about what's called natural law today. This is natural law. These are the immutable laws of morals. Murder is always wrong. Theft is always wrong. On and on and on. These crimes that we despise and detest, they're woven into the fabric of the universe. It's amazing that natural law is a controversial idea, but everybody has a sense of outrage. There is something that you can look at out here in the world. You can watch something on the news and the blood pressure just rises. You get outraged about that. And the reason is because wisdom is timeless. It has always been true, and it always will be true. The Proverbs are really not meant to be read all at once. And it's important for us to stick to a schedule so that we actually do wind up reading the entire Bible and not get sidetracked on just the parts that we really like and enjoy. The Proverbs, though, are meant to be savored. You take one proverb and you think about it and let it rattle around in your mind. See how it works. Look at your own experience and your own observations and see how appropriate it is. Then you can remember it and then you can apply it at the correct time. See, the Proverbs are supposed to be remembered, and you use the right proverb to discuss the correct situation in life. Not every proverb answers every situation in life. And that's why some of the proverbs actually sound contradictory. You get down there, two proverbs side by side. Answer a fool according to his folly. And the very next proverb says, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Okay, which is it? Do you or don't you? Right. Yep. It depends on the fool, and it depends on the situation. But that one of those proverbs is going to describe just about every situation involving a fool. The Psalms offer us prayers for every occasion. Good times, bad times, unsettled times, confusing times. You got a prayer for every occasion in the Psalms. The wisdom literature offers us commentary and guidance on every situation. And the root of it all, I mean the rock bottom foundation of all of it is the fear of the Lord. Nothing very good is going to happen without the fear of the Lord. It's where it all starts. To fear and obey Him is the beginning of wisdom, and you're just not going to get very far in life without God and His wisdom to guide and govern your life. We don't have a book of Proverbs in the New Testament. About the closest we get to wisdom literature in the New Testament is the book of James. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is James chapter 1 and verse 22. Do not merely look into the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And that's the requirement that we all have, to do what it says. That's why we extend an invitation when we gather, to allow people to do what it says. There is no doubt, if you want to become a Christian, you have to do what everyone this side of the cross has done. Confess Christ as Lord, repent of sin, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and raised to a new life. We're going to sing a song, give you an opportunity to do that. If you're a Christian, though, you've given your life to Christ in the past, but you haven't lived according to God's wisdom. And as you stop and think about it, you realize that's why things are so chaotic. But what you need to do is repent, because the wonderful thing about wisdom is that it's timeless. And if you will repent and start doing the wise thing, it will have its righteous effect in your life. If you need to respond publicly to Jesus' invitation to come to Him, we urge you to do it right now while we stand and sing a song.